الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Wherever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a straying. And every straying is in the hellfire. Continuing with fiqh and Ad-Durr al-Bahiyya by Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah with Al-Adillat al-Radiyya by Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq. We come to the chapter, and we're still in the Kitab of Tahara. We come to Al-Bab al-Sadis, Bab al-Tayammum. And Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, يُسْتَبَاحُ بِهِ مَا يُسْتَبَاحُ بِالْوُضُوءِ وَالْغُسْلِ لِمَنْ لَا يَجِدُ الْمَا أَوْ خَشْيَ الضَّرَرَ مِنْ اسْتِعْمَالِهِ وَأَعْضَاؤُهُ الْوَجْهُ ثُمَّ الْكَفَّانِ يمسحها مرة بضربة واحدة ناويا مسميا ونواقضه نواقض الوضوء. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, as we translate the book or the chapter of At-Tayammum. Tayammum makes it permissible for us to do everything that it's permissible for us to do when we make a wudu or we make a ghusl for the one who doesn't find any water or he's afraid that he may be harmed by using the water. And the parts of the body that are used for the tayammum are the face, then the two hands. You wipe them one time with the intentions that this is done for Allah, and after saying Bismillah. And what breaks the tayammum are the same things that break the wudu. So here Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he's covering with us the bab of at-tayammum. And at-tayammum, this is where a person uses the earth in order to hit it one time with his two hands, and then to wipe his face and his two hands to become in a state of purity in order to make salah or other acts of worship. This is what tayammum is. It's that, as we're going to see, that which replaces the wudu or the ghusl by striking the earth and then wiping your face and your two hands one time in order to be in a state of purification to make the salat or dhikr or what have you. As Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, this tayammum makes it permissible to do that which is permissible to do when you're in the state of wudu or after you have made a ghusl. And we see this from the long hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. An Aisha radiallahu anha, zawj al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qalat, kharajna ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi ba'di asfarihi حتى إذا كنا بالبيداء أو بذات الجيش انقطع عقد لي فأقام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على التماسه وأقام الناس معه وليسوا على ماء فأتى الناس إلى أبي بكر الصديق فقالوا ألا ترى ما صنعت عائشة أقامت برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والناس وليسوا على ماء وليس معهم ماء فجاء أبو بكر ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم واضع رأسه على فخذي قد نام فقال حبست رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والناس وليسوا على ماء وليس معهم ماء فقالت عائشة فعاتبني أبو بكر وقال ما شاء الله أن يقول وجعل يطعنني بيده في خاصرتي فلا يمنعني من التحرك إلا مكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على فخذي فقام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين أصبح على غير ماء فأنزل الله آية التيمم فتيمموا فقال أسيد بن الحضير والحضير ما هي بأول بركتكم يا آل أبي بكر قالت فبعثنا البعير الذي كنت عليه فأصبنا العقد تحته. عائشة رضي الله عنها, the wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, she said that we went out with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one of the journeys until we got to the place called Al-Bayda or Bidat al-Jish, where my necklace broke and fell off and got lost. And this is the meaning, inshallah, in qata'a aqdun li. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people stopped in order to look for the bracelet, and they were in an area that didn't have any water. So the people came to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and they said, don't you see what Aisha did? She has the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people stopping at this place where there's no water and the people don't have any water with them. So Abu Bakr came, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had his head laying on my lap, and this is Aisha radiallahu anha speaking. She said, Abu Bakr, he came in, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sleeping with his head on my thigh. When Abu Bakr said, you're holding back the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people, and we're not in an area with any water, and we don't have any water. And then Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that Abu Bakr began scolding her, and he said whatever Allah willed him to say. And then he started poking her in her side with his hands. And she said, showing how hard he was poking her, and nothing prevented me from moving except that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was right there on my lap, on my thigh. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he woke up and found out that they didn't have any water, then Allah revealed to him the ayat of tayammum, and then the people made tayammum. And Usayd ibn al-Hudayr, he said, this isn't the first blessing for your family, Abu Bakr. And then Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, when the camel got up, we found that the necklace was underneath the camel. So we see from this hadith, and we're going to read inshallah ta'ala the ayah of Tayammum from Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 6. We see from this story that Tayammum has been prescribed in Islam to take the place of the ghusl and the wudu. As Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he said that the tayammum, it makes permissible the same thing that the wudu or the ghusl does. The wudu, if a person only needs to make a wudu and then he finds himself in the circumstances where it's permissible to make the tayammum, then the tayammum will replace the wudu. If he finds that he's in a state of janabah and he needs to make a ghusl, and the circumstances permit him to make a tayammum, then this would tayammum would take the place of ghusl depending on the state of the person before he had to make the tayammum. Before we continue, we just wanted to mention some of the other benefits of this hadith, or to make it a little clearer to us, inshallah ta'ala. When she's saying we're stopping at a place that there's no water and we don't have any water, let's not look at being in America and you stop at a place they don't have a water fountain or something as if there's a big problem. But when you're in the desert, it's serious that you stop in an area and you don't have any water and the people don't have any water with them. And the people, they used to move through the desert quite quickly so they can always go to an area where there's water, because it can be fatal to rest in an area in the desert with no water. So this is why it was serious when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha stopped him in the desert. But we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Hakim had chosen the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam to be the first people to practice this deen of al-Islam. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, one of the brightest women that Islam has ever seen, definitely the scholar of the companion of the women companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This stopping the people in that situation only came out to be a blessing for their family, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose their incident to lay out the laws of Islam from tayammum. So we see that this deen, alhamdulillah, it was completed, and this is a real deen and it's practical, because the people were living their lives and they found themselves in circumstances that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verdicts to that would be applicable unto Yawm al-Qiyamah. There's one other point. The other point of this hadith that we wanted to bring out was, we see that the father has a big place over his children, and that's even after the children get married. As we see Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu scolding his daughter Aisha, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ and the mother of the believers, he's scolding her. And it's important for us to keep our children in check and always to keep them on the Sirat al-Mustaqim as best we can. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save our children. And the next narration of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, an Amrin, عن عمران عن عمران ابن ابن عن عمران بن حسين الخزاعي أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى رجلا معتزلا لم يصلي في القوم فقال يا فلان ما منعك أن تصلي في القوم فقال يا رسول الله أصابتني جنابة ولا ماء قال عليك بالصعيد فإنه يكفيك. And this hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Amran ibn al-Husayn al-Khuza'i radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a man away from the people by himself, and he didn't make the salah with the rest of the people. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "So and so, what prevented you from making salah with the people?" And he said, "O Messenger of Allah, I'm in a state of janabah and I didn't have any water." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "It would have been sufficient for you, or it is upon you to use the earth, because indeed it is sufficient for you." So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining, as we see in the first case, the case of wudu as the people didn't have any water. And here this shows that the tayammum replaces the ghusl too. If some people don't think that it goes for both the wudu and the ghusl, here we see that the person needed a ghusl, and the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam told them that he must use the earth because indeed it is sufficient for him, meaning he must make a tayammum because this is sufficient for him. So this shows that the truthfulness of the statement of Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, that the tayammum makes permissible that which the wudu and the ghusl makes permissible. For the one who doesn't find any water, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter number 5, with the ayah of tayammum, and this ayah is number 6, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says at this part of the ayah, وَإِن كُنْتُم مَرْضَىٰ أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُم مِّنَ الْغَائِطِ أَوْ لَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُم مِّنْهُ مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُم مِّنْ حَرَجٍ وَلَكِن يُرِيدُ لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ وَلْيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, if you are sick or on a journey, or one of you has come from making number two, or that he's been with his wives sexually and he doesn't find any water, then let him make a tayammum with pure clean earth soil to wash his face and his hands with this soil. Allah only wants to make ease for you, and he doesn't Allah doesn't want to make any difficulty for you in this deen, but he wants for you to purify yourselves and that he may complete his favors upon you so that perchance you may be thankful. So here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah of tayammum shows that this tayammum is for the one who doesn't find any water. Meaning at the time, and this is a big discussion with the ulama, and to be brief, and hopefully this is correct inshallah, meaning that when it comes time to make the wudu or the ghusl and the normal places where you expect the water to be, if there's no water there, then the license, you can use the license of making the tayammum. For example, in our case, we wake up in the house, there's no water. You come to the masjid doesn't have water. Okay, it's sufficient to make the tayammum. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best that this is the meaning of فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً, as the ulama explained. It's just been on my mind, I hope you don't mind me stepping to the side a little bit on this point. Sa'id ibn Musayyib, that we were mentioning about him yesterday from the Tabi'een, and many of the ulama said he was the finest Tabi'i, or the most knowledgeable one of this deen after the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam himself. They said whenever he was asked about the Quran, what does this ayat mean, he said, I never talk about the Quran. And they said because of that you don't find him saying anything for tafsir. He just recites the ayah and that's it. Rahimahullah. At any rate, we have to get some type of understanding. But here we see the ulama being safe from lying on Allah, knowing the seriousness of lying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we try to bring the statement of the ulama and say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And this is from the success that Allah gives to some of His servants, that they stayed away from that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimullah, he goes on and he says, or for the one who fears that he may be harmed with the water. First, it's permissible to make this tayammum if you don't find any water. And then here Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimullah, he's bringing another time when you would make the tayammum, and this is when you have water, but you think that you're going to be harmed if you use this water. And we see this from the hadith of Abu Dawood rahimahullah, an Jabir radiyallahu anhu qala, kharajna fi safarin fa asaba rajulan minna hajarun fashujjahu fi ra'sihi thumma ihtalam fasa'ala ashabahu faqala hal tajiduna li rukhsatan fi at-tayammumi faqalu ma najidu laka rukhsa wa anta taghdiru 'ala al-ma' faghtasala famata فلما قدمنا على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبر بذلك فقال قاتلهم الله ألا سألوا إذ لم يعلموا فإنما شفاع العي السؤال إنما كان يكفيه أن تيمم ويعصر أو يعصب شك موسى على جرحه خرفة ثم يمسح عليها ويغسل سائر جسده. And this hadith is authentic, inshallah. وجابر رضي الله عنه, he says that we went out on a journey, and most of the ulama, and most of the time when they went out on a journey, it was jihad fi sabilillah. Rahimahullah wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. So a man got hit in the head with a rock, and it left a big gash in his forehead. And then he had a wet dream. So when he woke up, he asked his companions, he said, "Do you find any excuse for me to make a tayammum?" And they said, "How are we going to find an excuse for you when you can use water and the water is available?" So he took a ghusl and then he died. So when they got back to the Prophet ﷺ, they informed him of what took place. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "You killed him. May the curse of Allah be on you. Why didn't you ask when you didn't know? Indeed, the only cure for ignorance is the question. It would have been sufficient for him to make a tayammum and then to wrap up his head, or the wrap up the wound, and then to wipe over it, and then to wash the rest of his body." So we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he shows that the tayammum is sufficient for the one who has the ability to use the water, but he feels that the water will harm him, meaning because of his wound or whatever, as we see in this case. Also, we see from this hadith the seriousness of speaking about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any knowledge. And that is sufficient, as the Prophet ﷺ said, "Couldn't you just ask when you don't know?" How many times we know if somebody asks us a question about the deen, it might seem close to something, but it's not really there, and we know we don't know. Instead of just figuring it out or guessing, just to wait and to ask when we don't know, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows us that this is the cure for our ignorance. And this isn't an encouragement from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam to just be questioning about anything, but this is the question about practical things that you find some difficulty in your lives and worship of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then you question about that. And this is different from the questioning of what about this, what about that, what about this. And really the ulama, they used to say, take what about if and put it on that star over there. And when I get a chance to get it off, I'll go get it. To show that this statement of what if is really discouraged, and that people should hold fast to questioning about that which they need in this deen. There's also another story that shows that if a person feels that he will be harmed by the water, then it's sufficient for him to make a tayammum. And this is a point that we were mentioning just this past Sunday in one of our classes, that the person himself is the one who's going to make the judge if the water is going to hurt him or not. Like the people say, "Nah, you got water, just a little cut on your elbow, Now you'll be alright, make a wudu. They don't know what it might happen to the person, but the person should make the judgment about himself. As we see in this case from the hadith of Ahmed and others, and it's authentic inshaAllah, on Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, لما بعثه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزوة ذات السلاسل فاحتلم في ليلة باردة فتيمم وصلى بأصحابه فلما قدموا ذكروا ذلك لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا عمرو أصليت مع أصحابك وأنت جنب فقال ذكرت قول الله تعالى ولا تقتلوا أنفسكم إن الله كان بكم رحيما فتيممت ثم صليت فضحك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يقل شيئا. عمر بن العاص رضي الله عنه, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, sent him as the Amir over the army for the battle of that Salasim. So he had a wet dream that night, which was extremely cold. So he woke up and made a tayammum, and then he led the companions, his companions, in the salah, who are the companions of the Messenger of Allah. Then when they came back, they mentioned this to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, Amr, did you make salah with your companions and you were in a state of junaba, meaning you needed to make a ghusl? He said, I was thinking of the statement of Allah, don't kill yourselves, indeed Allah has been merciful to you. So I made a tayammum and I led the salah, and then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam laughed and he didn't say anything. So here we see this issue of cold weather. Some people might not find it, you know, too bad to take a ghusl in the cold weather. But here we see that somebody felt, nah, I don't think I can make this joint. I take me a shower in the cold weather, I might get pneumonia and die or something. So he made the tayammum. So this issue of fearing that some harm would come to you from using the water, then the person has to use his best judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in the hearts of man. Also, we see some points from this hadith to mention. This first point, the point that we were mentioning just recently, we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam put him as the Amir over the army, and he was the one that led the salah. During those times, the people who were leaders, they had leadership qualities, but they also had knowledge of this deen. And when we look at the lifestyles of the early leaders of Islam, that they all had leadership qualities, and then they had knowledge of this deen. Or that they just simply had knowledge of this deen, and they were made leaders, as we mentioned in the example where Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he told one of the emirs, you conquered that city? Good. You know that ex-slave? Make him your emir. And then he wrote back to Umar, I'm going to make an ex-slave the Amir of the city I conquered by Allah's permission. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he quoted the ayah, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu inna Allah la yada'u bihadha al-kitab aqwamun inna Allah la yarfa'u bihadha al-kitab aqwaman wa yada'u bihi akhirin, or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in Allah would raise some people by this book and lower people by this book, referring that people have memorized the Quran, practiced the Quran, understand the Quran, that Allah is going to raise them not just in the hereafter but even in their station in this dunya, and other people are going to be lowered by this Quran, lowered in their level or their status or whatever, because they don't understand the Quran, because they don't read the Quran, because they don't practice the Quran, then they won't have the same level as the people who know the Quran and understand it and practice it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst them. So here we see that leadership in Islam, a requirement of it is that they know the book of Allah. And nowadays you have many of the emirs, unfortunately, if it comes time for the salah, they say, brother, lead the salah, because the emir don't know how to lead the salah properly. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. We also see something else in this hadith, and this is kind of one of the principles of usulul fiqh, and we've never made usulul fiqh a topic by itself, but we always try to incorporate it with the fiqh itself. As we see in this example, where the Messenger of Allah والسلام, laughed and didn't say anything. And if the Messenger of Allah والسلام, as the ulama explained, if the Prophet والسلام, lets something go, he witnesses it, let it go, that shows that that thing is okay. Because if it wasn't, then it would have been compulsory for the Messenger of Allah والسلام, to explain that that thing has no place in Islam. So this is one of the principles of usulul fiqh, and they take it from the hadith that if the Messenger of Allah والسلام, lets something go in his presence, then it shows that that thing is permissible, as we see that the Messenger of Allah والسلام, just left. Also we see in this hadith and in the hadith before that everything that took place, they brought it back to the Messenger of Allah والسلام. And this is the way we're supposed to be if we differ in any issue, take it back to the book of Allah or the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And we said that taking it back to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it meant to him directly during his life, as we see in these examples with his companions radiallahu anhum, or to that which has been authentically reported on him after his death sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Imam al-Shawkani rahimullah, he goes on to say the parts of the tayammum are the face and the two hands. You wipe them both one time. And this is from the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim. An Abdul Rahman ibn Abza qala jaa rajulun ila Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu faqala inni ajnabtu falam usib al-ma'. فقال عمار ابن ياسر لعمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه هما أما تذكر أن كنا في سفر أنا وأنت فأما أنت فلم تصلي وأما أنا فتمعكعت فصليت فذكرت للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يكفيك هكذا فضرب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بكفيه الأرض ونفخ فيهما ثم مسح بهما وجهه وكفيه. In this hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim, Abdul Rahman ibn Azza ibn Abza rahimullah said that a man came to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he said that I was in a state of janaba and I didn't find any water. So Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, he said to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, don't you remember when me and you were traveling and you made the salah and I rolled around in the dirt and then I made the salah? And then we mentioned this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said it would have been sufficient for you to do this. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he hit the earth with his two hands, with the two palms of his hands, and then he blew in both of them, and then he wiped his face and his two hands with his hand. So here we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the tayammum is made by hitting the earth one time with the two palms of your hands, and then just to blow the dirt off like that, and then to wipe your face with your two hands, and then to wipe your two hands with your two hands. This is the way to make the tayammum as described by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We also see in this hadith the same principle that we were looking at before. And this is that if the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam knows that something takes place and he lets it go, then that means that thing is permissible. Here we see that Umar ibn al-Khattab and Ammar ibn Yasir, they needed to make a wudu and they didn't have any water. And Umar said, I don't know, I'm going to just make the salah. I know we have to make salah. I don't have any water. I can't. If I did, I would have made the wudu or the ghusl or what have you. I don't. So I'm just going to make salah and I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it. Ammar ibn Yasir, he said, I got to like do something. And he just rolled around in the dirt, as the dirt is a means of purification. As the Prophet ﷺ, he said, جُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَالطُّهُورًا, that the whole earth has been made a place to make salah and a place of purification. So he's trying to roll himself as if to replace with water the dirt, and he's like making a ghusl, wiping his whole body in the dirt. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam told him, no, it was only sufficient for you to hit the ground with your two hands, blow in it, wipe your face in your hands. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam didn't confirm that if someone didn't have any water, that he can roll in the dirt and that would be okay. But that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed him and showed us how to make the tayammum. Then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, having the intentions. And this is for every act of worship, from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, innamal a'malu bin niyat, that actions are by intentions. And then to say, Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, to begin with Bismillah. And this was from the hadith that we had took a look at earlier. The hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, collected by Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah and others, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La salata liman la wadu'a lahu wa la wadu'a liman lam yadhkur isma Allahi alayhi. From this hadith, there is no salah for the one who doesn't have wudu, and there's no wudu for the one who doesn't mention the name of Allah. Now this hadith, we said that the ulama differed with a big difference of an opinion to the authenticity of this hadith. Is it authentic or not? At any rate, most of the ulama, they use this hadith to show that we should say Bismillah before we begin our wudu. And that Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he's showing that this tayammum is taking the place of the wudu, so we should say Bismillah before we begin the tayammum, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says that what breaks the wudu breaks the tayammum. We covered, alhamdulillah, what breaks the wudu, and they are the same things that break the tayammum. So this is the chapter from Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, the chapter of tayammum. And tayammum is using the earth to wipe our face and our hands in order to purify ourselves. And this purifying ourselves replaces the wudu or the ghusl. Meaning, if you need to take a wudu and the water isn't there, or you feel some harm from yourselves from using the water, then it's permissible to make the tayammum. And if you needed to make a ghusl and the water wasn't there, or you fear some harm from the water, if you made a ghusl, then you would use the tayammum and it would replace that, meaning it would make permissible everything that the wudu and the ghusl would make permissible, from the salah and the recitation of the Quran and what have you. This is for the one who doesn't find any water, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. Or for the one who fears there will be some harm if you use the water, as we saw in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. The parts of the tayammum are the hands and the face. And you make the tayammum by striking the ground with your two hands and then blowing in them, and then wiping your face and your two hands, having the intention that this is sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala alone, saying Bismillah before the beginning, and knowing that what breaks the wudu breaks the tayammum. This is what we wanted to present from the chapter of tayammum by Imam Ash-Shawkani, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. I don't know if we had any questions pertaining to the tayammum. Yes.
Pertaining to tayammum, that you make Tayyim and you make Salat al-Zuhr, and you didn't break your wudu, you know, invalidates the wudu, you didn't break it. Can that Tayyim last six Salat al-Asr, or you have to do another Tayyim?
Yes. The brother is asking if you make Tayyim in order to make Dhuha, then when Asr comes in, if you didn't break your wudu, can you use that tayammum, the same tayammum, for the next salah? We said that Imam al-Shawkani, he mentioned that what breaks the wudu breaks the tayammum. Except that the ulama mentioned, except if you find some water. Meaning if you find water, then it becomes compulsory to make the wudu or the ghusl with the water, and the tayammum would no longer be valid so long as the water was available. So what breaks the tayammum is the same thing that breaks the wudu. And really, if you went from one salat to the next salat and you didn't break your wudu, you didn't break your tayammum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes. With the forearms, you mean? The tayammum is just with the palms of the hand. And this is important to know in the Arabic language, walhamdulillah, that is very particular. And the word that means hand, that most of us know, yed, it can mean the palm of the hand, or it can mean up to the elbow, as in the case of wudu, or it can mean the whole arm. There's one word that means the whole arm, or from the elbow down, or from the wrist down. However, in the Arabic language, you have words that would refer to each part of the body. And here the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam uses the word kaf, and the word kaf is just the palm of the hand, and it doesn't include the rest of the arm like the word yed does. So the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he explained that what is being wiped, what Allah means in this ayah when he says wash, wipe your face and your hands, meaning your aydikum. This word yed, that could mean the whole arm or up to the elbow or just the wrist down. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he explained it in the hadith where he told them it was sufficient for you to slap your two palms on the ground, to blow in your two palms of your hands, to wipe your face with those two hands, and then to wipe your two hands with those two hands. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who's been entrusted with explaining the Quran, explains that what is meant is only the hand and not the whole arm up to the elbow or up to the shoulder. Yes.
Also, I was reading, I was taught that the earth could also be dirt, as well as cement, or even a tree, or even a wood.
Yes. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam also showed us from his sunnah that not only the pure earth could be used to make the tayammum, but whatever was there, whether it was the concrete or what have you, that's on the surface of the ground, then it could be used, inshallah ta'ala, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, authentic narrations, had made the tayammum in his house by hitting the wall. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Alhamdulillah, we're in America, and most of the places outside of some of the big cities, you have some earth to make the tayammum if there's ever a need. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Can I just add to this first point? This issue of the wudu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself explains that the hand is going to be up to and including the elbow. On the issue of getting your hand cut off when you steal, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam explained that that's only from the wrist down. And this is why we say what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ And we have sent to you, O Muhammad, this revelation so that you can explain to humanity what has been revealed to them. That we rely on the explanation of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this deen, for the Quran and the Sunnah, by his practice. And we also rely on the understanding and the practice of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the understanding and the application of this deen. Jazakallah khair. So that when things, when words or sentences have more than one possible meaning, then we're forced to take the most correct meaning, and that being the way of the Salaf al-Salih. So in this example of the tayammum, we have the example from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, you know, when you were taught tayammum and the way you tell us now, did any of the, as far as you know, did any of the scholars say that you had to hit the earth one time, do your hands hit the earth again? Because I was taught, you know, and you know, in lots of daily teachers, that we're supposed to hit the earth one time, and that we're supposed to do, like I said, we're not hit the whole arm, hit it again, do the face, hit it again, hit the head, hit it again, hit the feet, you know, to make a mess out.
This is amazing to me too. The brother is saying that they heard that the tayammum is to hit the ground and then to blow in it. And then to wipe the face. Then they hit it again and do your hands. Blow in it and do your hands. Do your hands all the way up to the elbow. Then hit the ground and blow in it again and wipe your head. Then hit the ground and do your feet. And now I'm saying something different. I'm not going to put myself on the level with those ulama who explain the deen. And we have mentioned before that it's not upon us to ever put ourselves on the level with the ulama, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who blessed them and chose them to be the carriers of his deen. However, when the issue of a difference of an opinion comes, then it's not the issue of that scholar and whoever else is against him, whether he's on that level or not. But the issue is, فَإِن تَنَعَزَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. If you differ in anything to Allah, meaning to the Book of Allah, and back to his messenger, as we explained to him directly during his life, and then to that which has been authentically reported on him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after his death, if you believe in Allah on the last day, and that's better as a final decision. So when we find that there's some differencing, well, somebody taught me this, I hear you saying something different, then what we said was qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So really I didn't even explain how you make the tayammum. I just quoted the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَخَيْرُ الْهَجِّ هَجِّ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We had even mentioned earlier in the class, in the beginning of this fifth class, that we were trying to be brief, and at the same time, for every point that Imam Shawkani rahimahullah he brings, that every point we're going to bring an ayah or a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the statements and the practice of our Salaf al-Salih, to show that Imam Shawkani is correct in what he's bringing, or to refute him in a way that is befitting to refute the ulama if they're wrong, by taking the issue back to Allah or his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So as far as this other way of the tayammum, really this is the first time that I'm aware of it. And this is what I know is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even if there's other narrations, then for a surety we can hold on to the narrations that come to us, as all of us have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our deeds. And if we're questioned, why do you make tayammum? By slapping the earth one time, blowing in your hands, wiping your face, and then wiping your two hands from the elbow down with your two hands. Why do you do that? Because of the authentic hadith reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that said this is sufficient for us to do. So really this is this is really building our case to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by practicing His book and practicing the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And fiqh isn't the way of necessarily, as we have some of our shuyukh say, fiqh isn't picking up one of the books of the madhabs. Fiqh isn't following Sheikh so and so. Fiqh isn't I heard such and such. But fiqh is to practice the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way that it was practiced by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions radiallahu anhum. And this is why I told some of the people in private, I guess I can say in public, that I didn't really like fiqh, because there's so many difference of an opinion because of so many opinions. But what I do like is the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is why we try to have even our fiqh just simply based on the hadith. And what about so and so and so and so and this opinion and that opinion? Then we want to be as safe as we could with the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And we don't make this statement to belittle or to look down on our ulama, because we love our ulama, rahimahumullah. We just want to prepare ourselves for meeting our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't know if there are any other questions. The brothers or sisters there at Roanoke in Virginia, if they have any questions, then we can try to entertain them now, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Questions, everything was clear, praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Jazakallahu khairan. If the brothers and sisters in Peekskill, if they have any questions or comments or statements. Okay, if what we brought today was correct and is from Allah, and anything incorrect is from myself, and we just wanted to welcome, inshallah, the brothers and sisters from Roanoke, Virginia. I think this is their first time on the Ilmu Online, and we ask Allah to let them benefit. وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
Yes, next week it will be inshallah Al-Hayd and Nifas, or the verdicts pertaining to the lady's menstrual cycle and the postnatal bleeding.